Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 100. If you're using your Pew Bible, you should be able to find this on page 635. And this is Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. So into our reading of God's word, may he bless that reading and now the preaching of his word as well. As you know, the titles to these psalms we have in the Hebrew. And this psalm is titled, A Psalm for Giving Thanks. Or A Psalm for Thanksgiving. And it's an appropriate psalm, as its message is, it's a culmination of a grouping of psalms we've been looking at since Psalm 93. And this is a short, succinct psalm, just extolling God, calling all of us to give him thanks. And it does so, calls us to give him thanks for two reasons, for the fact that he is God, and for the fact that he is good. And so the theme we'll be looking at this evening is the call for us to give thanks to the Lord, for he is God and he is good. But first of all, the first point this evening is give thanks to the Lord and praise his name. And this comes from the title in the first verse and first two verses and the fourth verse. Again, the title to the psalm is a psalm for giving thanks. It's a time of thanksgiving that we are called here. And how we're to do that is to make a joyful noise. And this word, along with serve, come, enter, give thanks, bless, and know throughout the psalm, these are all commands that we are given in this very short psalm. So five verses there, and we have more than that of commands that we are called to do and to give to the Lord. Now, the idea of making a joyful noise is, again, if you can remember back to Psalm 95, it's the idea of a victorious shout, an audience that is shouting in triumph over a victory. And that, again, is the sense of what the psalmist is after. It's a joyful noise. It really is a joyful noise. It's a shout of victory that we are called to give to God. But it's not just us who are called to give this shout of joy to God. It's all the earth. In this verse, the psalmist is showing that the Lord is in fact Lord over all the earth. He is God over everything. All are his. Now, the psalm really shows us a context of worship. As far as coming into his gates with thanksgiving, that language shows us a worship. Bowing to him, serving him. These are all words that give us the picture of worshiping God. One commentator showed us, as we consider that context of worship, his name is Henry Patrick Reardon, and I've mentioned him before. He says, when the people of God assemble to rejoice in his presence and enter his courts with praise, there is always an evangelical summons implied in the action. So you consider, as we meet together, as we assemble as God's people to come and to worship him, following these commands of giving a joyful noise before the Lord, serving him, bowing before him, entering into his presence, we are proclaiming to all the earth to join us. As a church meets and gathers for worship throughout the world, it is a call for all the earth to come and to worship God with her. And it is one of the works that God has given to the church to proclaim his gospel and to uphold his truth and to call to repentance the earth, the world around us. God calls us that we are a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood. And what that means is it's the same language that he used in the Old Testament of Israel of old, that the saints there were to be also a royal priesthood. And the Apostle Peter takes that language and rightly applies it to us now in this era. And what that means of us being priests before God is that the function of a priest in the Old Testament was the means through which people would come to God. The priest had access to God that the other people didn't have as free access to, but he was also the means through which people came to God. And so in that sense, the people of God as being a priesthood, we are the means through which God is bringing people to himself. We have free access to God, and we are to call the earth to repentance and to come before him. This is, we are called then to shout for joy, to give thanks to the Lord. And as we do this, we are calling all the earth to join us in submitting to him and giving thanks to him. Now, the second point that I want to focus on is we're given two reasons, really, to give thanks to the Lord. And the first, as I mentioned, is the fact that he is God, and we see this in verse 3. We see in verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, in this verse is the second line. It is he who made us, and we are his. If some of you are using a different translation other than the ESV, you might see instead of it is he who made us and we are his, it is he who made us and not we ourselves. And the reason being is that there's the Hebrew, there's a little Hebrew word that might have a depending on the pronunciation, means either not or his. So if you did it in one way, it would be not us or we are his. Now, even in our own Psalter, as we now have multiple, about four versions or five versions of Psalm 100 that we can choose from to sing. If I remember correctly, I think two of them translate it this way as it is in the ESV, and three of them translate it not ourselves. And so depending on which one you want to sing, there you go. Now, we shouldn't be concerned that there's this difference between a couple of options that we have in this verse, because the truth is the same regardless. It is that fact of us not making ourselves is not dependent upon this verse. And the fact that we are God's, it does not rest or fall upon this verse. Both are truths that are clearly attested throughout the pages of Scripture. Personally, I like the way the ESV translates it because it flows well into the rest of the verse. We have in his it is he who has made us and we are his, and then emphasizes again we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so the flow of ideas there fits well with how the ESV has translated it. Now, this verse again is emphasizing the first reason that we're given to give thanks to the Lord. And it starts off again with another command. We're to know. We're commanded to pursue knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Know that the Lord, he is God. So it's showing that this covenant God, the Lord, Yahweh, that has entered into a relationship with his people, that is not just some deity, local deity. He is, in fact, God over all the earth. And that is why all the earth is called to give him praise. Now, as we consider that he then, this God, it is he who has made us, and we are his. His deity is seen in the fact that he is the creator of all the earth. And in this sense, he owns all the earth. All the earth is his, and we are called to serve him above all others. But it's not just that he is the Lord of, and he is the God, the creator of heaven and earth, but the fact that he is the Lord, there is that covenant relationship with the fact that we are his people that is emphasized in this verse. We are the sheep of his pasture. This shows us God as our redeemer. So he is our creator and he is our redeemer. He owns us for the mere fact that he has created us, but he also owns us for the fact, as his people, that he has bought us and purchased us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are his, both in the fact that he has created us, but especially as his people in the fact that he has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus. And this is why we are called to give thanks to him. He is our God. We're to give thanks to the Lord, for he is our God. He is the one who has made us, and he is also the one who has called us as his sheep. He has brought us into his flock. He is our creator and our redeemer. Lastly, we're to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The second reason we're called to enter into God's gates with thanksgiving, we're to give thanks to the Lord, is the fact that he is good. And his goodness in verse 5 is exemplified in the fact that of his steadfast love and his faithfulness. These are really, it's referring to the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin. His steadfast love and his faithfulness, they endure forever. There is no end. He never changes. Now, why is this a reason to give thanks? Well, there's an attribute of God that we call his impassibility. And what that refers to is the fact that God doesn't have emotions like we have emotions. The impassibility there refers to his passion. Does he get grieved over sin? Yes, he does. Does he get angry over wickedness? Yes, he does. Does he find pleasure and delight in his people? Yes. Does he love his people? Yes, that's clearly displayed. But he doesn't have emotions like we have emotions. We could think of it this way. God's never going to have an off day. You know, it's, I think as we, you know, looking back as being a small child, and I hope, you know, and our kids are in that process right now, you know, there are some times where mom and dad have a bad day. And we might react differently to things than we would if we're having a good day. That's not going to happen with the Lord. He's never going to have an off day versus an on day. How he treats sin is going to be the same day after day after day after day. How he loves his people is going to be the same day after day after day after day. It can't change because he is the perfection of all those things. There's no variation in him. So if he is angry at sin, he is angry to its fullest and perfect. Showing of it. Blanked on what word used there. You know, the love that he shows it to its full extent. It is, he is perfect in these things. And what that means for us is it gives us great confidence that his steadfast love is never going to change. His faithfulness is never going to stop. I mentioned this morning the fact that God was faithful to a covenant made in his name that he had commanded his people not to make. Now, if we were possibly in the shoes of, if that was us, if God reacted to things as we have, you know, I'm sure we could easily rationalize if someone under us had made an agreement with a group of people that we told them not to do. We could somehow rationalize and say, all right, well, you were tricked. That's okay. You know, we'll you just, you know, do such and such and we'll let it go. But that's not how God takes it. His name was invoked. He takes it very seriously, and he is faithful to the promises that were made. How much more, then, will God uphold and be faithful to the covenants that he has made? The covenants that he has established in his name. This is the source and the foundation of our great hope in him, is the fact that he is steadfast and he is faithful even when we are faithless. And this is the reason, a great reason, why we can give thanks to the Lord. His steadfast love and his faithfulness shows us how he is good. You know, it could be, you could theorize that, you know, the Lord could be God, but what if he wasn't good? Would that be a reason for us to give thanks? He could have all the power in the universe that he has, but yet not be a loving God. Now that's a horrible thought. And that just emphasizes the reason that we have for giving thanks. Because God is the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same forever. His steadfast love and his faithfulness endures for all generations. And this then is the reason why we can give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. Psalm 100 again is a psalm for giving thanks. And in these verses, we're commanded to shout before the Lord, we're commanded to serve him, we're commanded to come before into his presence, we're commanded to know that he is God, we're commanded to enter his gates with thanksgiving, we're commanded to give thanks to him. And these commands that we're given, they truly are not burdensome. Are these commands that would weigh us down and say, oh man, I have to give thanks to the Lord today. I need to know him more. I actually have to serve him. I have to worship him. I mean, these are gracious and beautiful commands that God has given to us. And we are called in obedience to do these things, to make that joyful noise, to worship him with gladness, to grow in our knowledge and understanding of him, and to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So, brothers and sisters, let us do this. Let us joyfully and come into his presence giving thanks. For our Lord is God, and he is good. Amen.